Hey guys, and welcome back to the Way UK podcast. Today I'm joined by two wonderful guests. Do you mind telling me who you are and why you're on the show today? The show. Oh, the hello. Show. The show. The podcast.
Oh, do you not call it the pod?
You could.
Is what I heard.
I was told we call it the pod.
My name is Maisie. Maisie. First name's okay.
Maisie. Yeah, Maisie. Yeah, that's great.
Maisie.
And we met a few years ago.
Back in the day, when we were at New Day.
We were at New Day, which is a Christian festival, which is where I became a Christian. Is it where you became a Christian as well?
No, but it was the first time being filled with the Holy Spirit. That was very exciting.
Amen. That's
yeah,
awesome.
Days in the Big Top at New Day.
What is your name?
My name's Jazz.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We didn't meet at New Day.
No, we didn't, but no. We met today.
We met today?
Yeah.
We shared a water. Not shared a water, but had a water. Shared it. not shared, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And we've got these guys on today because they were a part of a thing and an organization called Mercy Ships, and it's a missions organization that we're going to hear about a little bit. Here's some stories, here's some testimonies. But to start off, we already touched on a little bit by you saying you didn't come to faith at New Day, but how did you guys come to faith? How long have you been a Christian? What was that experience like?
So I became a Christian when I was 4 years old. So grew up in a Christian family. I think I've probably become, until I really understood what it was like to become a Christian, I think I became a Christian quite a lot of times. My mum would always be like, where's Maisie after church? Oh, she's at the front becoming a Christian again. Because
it's honest.
It sounds better every time. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. A life with Jesus. So kind of a young age, but then obviously grew up, kind of just matured my faith a little bit. But also like kept a childlike faith always. And yeah, kind of brought me to where I am today.
That's awesome. Yeah. And how long ago was that, do you think, where you like went in? So like, oh, actually, no, that's a bit vulnerable, isn't it?
This is
vulnerable,
hard.
Vulnerable.
I think what's hard with that is I think every single day I make a profession of faith. But
yeah, yeah.
But yeah, probably when I was four and then again when I was like 12 at New Day,
wow.
I probably would say. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, but I think I've also... You make like life choices and decisions in your teenage years throughout there that aren't always glorifying the Lord and not always living like in the best, like in my identity as a daughter of the King, but equally, yeah, hey, we're out there. So yeah.
Preaching. Mm. I love it. I that's amazing. Yeah. Jazz, what was your experience of faith?
So I also grew up in a Christian home. So yeah, my parents raised me as a Christian. And when I was about, I think it was about 10 or 11, I gave my life to Jesus, which was, yeah.
Come on.
And yeah, I think for me, it hasn't been like, you know, since then, it hasn't just been like, you know, every day living my, you know, living life out for God. It's been a bit, it's been hard, a hard journey, or like not a hard journey, but just, yeah.
A journey.
Yeah, I get it. And I was, yeah, I think I did struggle a little bit at times of like not necessarily feeling like I fit in. And I did carry for a long time the feeling of not feeling good enough a lot. And so I think, yeah, as time's gone on, and actually there hasn't been like a sudden like switch or anything like that. But yeah, I think I've just like really reconnected more with God. Obviously, Mercy Ships being a big part of that as well. And yeah, and then over the last like few years, I think especially like I've really been able to like let go of that, not feeling good enough.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you're here today.
And I'm here today, yeah.
Do you mind just explaining, one of you two, I don't mind, what Mercy Ships is about, what it is, and then we'll talk a little bit more about it. Just the first up, what is it? What is this thing?
So, I mean, it's a huge ship. There's a couple of ships, and it's a charity.
No.
Yeah, funnily enough, it's a ship. Yeah, surprising, but it's a hospital ship. That's a little bit more information.
Yeah,
but and basically they go to countries where at the moment Africa, where surgery can't be. Isn't the same basically as it is here, and they give the opportunity to give surgeries to people who can't get it, and it's a Christian organization as well, so they very much like
on the ethos
of Christianity.
That's amazing.
Providing our catchphrase, get it
oh.
in. providing hope and healing, to basically, so the aim of it, the preference is we come into countries and we do surgeries that we would never be able to get in the country. So kind of, it's not, we don't want to replace what the medical care already is. So we were at base in Sierra Leone, that's where we met and we worked alongside each other. So we don't want to ever replace the work that's in Sierra Leone and kind of, because like, so we kind of do the surgeries that they would never be able to access in their country. Wow. To kind of, and I think it is that, like, that is life changing for them. Yeah. And it's actually surgeries that we would see as quite,
I was going to say, normal, sometimes like surgeries, it's most for simple us. Yeah. Surgeries. And so just being able to give a big proportion of people that surgery, yeah, is just, yeah.
Yeah.
In those countries.
It's genuinely amazing, the, yeah, work that they do.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah. And it's, but we were volunteering. So I think that was one thing that shocks people quite a lot, especially a lot of my friends. When I was leaving my job in the NHS, I worked as a nurse. They were kind of like, you're leaving to what, how are you going to earn money? How are you, like, a lot of those things. And I think that also is quite a beautiful thing we were saying on the way here, of like, everyone there is like volunteering. So actually you have all the people in like the high management roles and the people that like serving, yeah, in every single part, they're all
is, yeah, yeah,
doing, yeah, it for, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. You, no, yeah, no, I was just, yeah, yeah, agreeing. I was like,
yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, no, it is.
What she said, that's, yeah, cool,
yeah.
Couldn't say better.
Did you, when you grew up, did you ever feel drawn to do some sort of missions thing like that to help the those who need help? And yeah, what was the, yeah, what was the process of having an experience, beginning to understand God a little bit on who he is, becoming a Christian and receiving that for yourself, into, oh, maybe I want to like work abroad and look after people? What was the draw there? What was that, from a young age, or was that instantly, or was it a process?
Well, so for me, so my school sponsored some like charities, and I remember Mercy Ships when I was 12 years old was the charity of the year. So like everything we did, the fundraising was for Mercy Ships. And then since then it was just like on my heart, and it just would not shake. But it was something that like I didn't think about like all the time. It would come and go, and just when I saw Mercy Ships come up, I'd be like, oh yeah, like that is a goal, that is something that I just really feel strongly towards. But I always knew, I think, I wanted to go somewhere else just to help people where it's needed. But yeah, no, so I've, yeah.
And then what made you make the decision to join a missions boat?
Well, so I think it was after a bit of contemplating on what degree course I wanted to do, always having it in mind. So I was going to do media, and then last minute I was like nursing, but both media and nursing I could do on the ship. So I had that in the back of my head. And then, yeah, I think I did my nursing degree, and after that I was like, okay, how much experience do I need before I can go on? And then the job that came up was exactly what I was doing, and so I just applied for it, and that's how, yeah, it all fell into place. I think,
and
yeah.
I can't wait to hear the stories in a minute of like experience. Yeah, but similar, Maisie, how did you feel drawn to it? Was it from a young age you wanted to do it, or was it,
I just think I'd heard a story. So we had family friends that had done something quite similar called the OM ship, which is like a floating library that went to similar places in West Africa, actually all over like China and different places. And they did it in the 70s with their four kids. And like she always spoke, a lady in my church that just always inspired me. And then I think she wanted my mum to do it. Then my mum ended up like just not doing it. So she was kind of like, I was the next target. Like, come on, Maisie, you need to do this. yeah. So yeah, shout out to Sue Sweeney. But I think just people sharing stories of like, if you hear different stories, which I hope encourages people today, like normal people doing things, like you're like, oh, maybe I could. And it was kind of always like, oh, could I? But actually kind of having that confidence to be like, yeah, I can do this. This is like, and that's what was a beautiful thing with like missionaries as like a title, which I kind of struggle with a little bit, because I think we are all missionaries wherever we are. This is God's mission. So like even in my current workplace back in the NHS, I also feel like I'm a missionary there, and because I'm showing God to people and living like Jesus. So I think I guess, but if in the traditional sense of what a missionary is, I don't know if you'd agree, like is probably being sent out. I think it's encouraging to hear stories and be like, God, like we don't know what God is doing, even in God's sovereignty, like what is happening.
No, that's amazing. Exciting. It is, and it is. And we're here to hear stories. I want to hear stories. Yeah. What's that C.S. Lewis passage? Not passage, quote. Just like, you can tell people any, I'm going to totally butcher this, but the essence of his quote was like, you can tell any scripture, win any argument, but the real power and life is always in the stories, in the testimonies. I totally butchered that. Sorry, C.S. Lewis, if you're watching from heaven. I don't think he's doing that. But some scholars are probably kicking me at the moment in the comment section. Yeah, I actually didn't say that.
Anyway. It's right. We love comments, guys.
We love comments. We love your thoughts. But if you had any like real significant stories from Mercy Ships, good or negative, but just really shaped the way that you view God, what are some things that come to mind? It's a bit of a vague question, but
Yeah, I think there's a lot, isn't there?
And just like open up like the whole can of worms.
Yeah, how many?
Go where you want to go. We'll flow with where you want to go.
Because initially when you sent that, it like gave us a little bit of a brief beforehand. I was thinking, right, patient stories. And I think that was what was a massively beautiful thing of like our role as nurses. So my role on the ship was, I really wanted to go on the ship. Sorry, I'm really tangering off. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Really wanted to go on the ship, and I felt God say, leave your job and like apply and just say yes to whatever vacancy they give you. So the vacancy I really wanted was a ward nurse, but they gave me a crew nurse, which basically is I was looking after the kind of 450 crew that lived on the ship and the 200 day crew. So like, kind of, so if anyone's a nurse out here, it's a bit of hierarchy of like, right, you're either the really acute ICU nurse, which any ICU nurse will tell you they're an ICU nurse, basically, like they do the acute things. And then you've kind of got like the ward nurse, and then you've got like the PACU nurse, which Jazz did. And then I'm like the crew nurse, and everyone was like, ooh. Not about it, but like, I'm doing kind of like these are all important things, but like malaria tests, like blood pressure checks for people on the ward, doing vaccinations for some of the children that lived on board. Like, and it was, and we did get some acute stuff like that we were called out of hours to do. But I think what I really found was I was like, Lord, like people have been like, we're sending Maisie out to the nations, but she's working kind of behind the scenes. She's not patient facing of like, everyone would go and be like, oh, what amazing stories do you have? But I think what I realized was like the beauty of being able to look after the people that were serving. I was like, it's actually quite a privilege that actually people that come on board that move away from their families, from their support network, quite a lot of like people that were struggling with their mental health on the ship, people that were struggling with grieving like a loved one that from back home, or kind of, I felt like I was given this really special position to be like a pastor to people. And it was not how I expected for God to use me, but like it was kind of in the behind the scenes. I was like, right, I'm not going to be in the before and after pics right now being like, oh wow, that amazing surgery. Like, but actually there was such a beauty in kind of supporting. And I think God definitely taught me a lot through that. And even just a lot of our Sierra Leoneans, they, because of the civil war and their experiences, they kind of just had, I don't know if this is a fair way to say it, but like quite a high level of trauma of like, for them seeing their family being shot dead, they'd witnessed. So like they had a lot of what I would say like PTSD or like trauma from that, but they don't acknowledge that in their culture because they're like, we're just so grateful, because obviously they've been through such a traumatic thing of the civil war that happened in Sierra Leone in the late 90s that like for them they're like, oh, that's just life, we just keep going, we thank God. Like, and I think it was really special to be able to minister to some of those people and be like, oh, but let's talk about it, like how did that feel seeing members of your family being shot dead, like how does that affect you and your view of Christ? And I think that was just such a privilege. And I had one girl in particular who she came in because she had a fever and ended up she had malaria. And then she was just ended up sharing her story that her sister had been beaten the day before and killed in the streets, like by an and it was just like, I think when you get like hear things like that, you're just like, wow, I'm so privileged that I haven't experienced that. And actually, Lord, thank you for bringing me here to minister to these people that, it's not in the glamorous, exciting way, but actually, and thankfully, I got to do part-time both roles. So I did crew nurse part-time and ward nurse part-time, which was really special. But I actually found that I loved the crew nurse a little bit more in the way I could just minister for people and maybe see the realities of mission work, of like, we see the exciting stories. Like no one posts on Instagram how hard things are sometimes, but I think we should do more of. But actually seeing like the behind the scenes of like someone that's got really bad food poisoning, they've just need someone just to come and be, you know, that I think that was really, really special. So just being around people. So they were kind of the less glamorous stories, but God definitely in those conversations.
It's fascinating how it like probably shaped your view of what missions was as well. Like even the initial perception and then the heart throb of like, oh man, that's not the cool thing. I'd love to talk more about that in a minute. We'll go there in a sec. But Jazz, what was your kind of, did you have a moment? Did you have things?
I think it kind of similarly in terms of when I was in my job role, I kind of felt, I was like, I'm a bit behind the scenes because I was in the recovery department. So the patients would come through to us, but for a very short period of time and then go back to the ward. And then that's when you hear the singing and dancing and everything like that. So you kind of like, oh, I feel like I'm not part of it. But actually, I think the more I was there and the more God spoke to me, the more I realized like I'm in a very vulnerable time for these patients. And a lot of the patients as well, like wake up and they're like, I can't believe I've just had this surgery that I never thought I was going to have.
Wow.
So to be in that, yeah, time with them, it's a privilege. And actually, yeah. So like one story, which I do say a lot, cause it is quite funny, but we had a patient that woke up and he just started clapping. And we were like, oh yeah, we're like, yeah, this is great. Like it's a celebration of, you know, you have been able to have this surgery. And then he just clapped for like the whole hour he was in the recovery department for, and then clapped all the way into the ward. And like, it was at the time we were like, okay, maybe you stop clapping because, you know, he just had surgery. But it was just like a testament to kind of what we do and how it much, you know, it means to these people. Mm. So those sort of moments, you kind of just sit there and you think, oh wow, what Mercy Ships are doing here is so important. Mm. And and amazing. And yeah, so yeah, I think
that's... No, it's brilliant. Mm. And so, it sounds like such a learning experience.
Mm.
You go there and you see so much. You grow up a bit. You see the mixture of pain, but also joy and like all this stuff, which is already quite hard to grasp as like a thing. Like, how do you live with such pain in places and such joy at the same time? That feels hard in the West, let alone in some of these other places where, and you look at, you know, you hear stories of sisters being killed and you're like, oh my gosh, like I do not know that as deeply. Like I do not know a pain like that yet. Some people do. That's not saying no one does, but I guess there was this, you know, there's been this past like 2 years. I mean, did you do it last year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was last year. 2020 series. You October 2023.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. So like
2-3 years.
Yeah.
You've gone from, okay, I feel like God has something for me and doing some abroad missions work, not just missions work, because missions can be anywhere, but abroad missions work.
Yeah.
And now you're on the flip side. You finished from what I learned like 9 months ago, roughly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've had a lot of time to debrief, process. Say you're talking to someone who hasn't gone out and done it yet, like yourself 3 years ago, and they're kind of like, they feel like God's calling them to maybe go out and be an abroad missionary. They're feeling this calling to this mission stuff, but they're like, oh, like I think I'm going to do this.
Mm.
What's some advice that you might have for them? Like one word. It can be like, do it, but it can but it can also be like a lesson. It's like, oh, here's something really helpful and practical that I kind of wish I knew before. Do you know what I mean?
I would start by saying you need a community to send you out, because I think there can be so much. Like, you could do this anonymously and be like, I'm leaving where I am and because I don't like it anymore and go out. And I think, but it needs to realize that, yes, your time there, and potentially you could serve on missions for the rest of your life, who knows, but there is a point of like coming back to touch base of where you left. And I think I definitely had some very wise people around me keeping me accountable, like even just people accountable in your whole journey of like sharing your heart of wanting to do this. I applied and didn't hear back for quite a few months and I was like, right, I feel a bit embarrassed, I might just push this under the carpet. But actually it's good to have a friend being like, okay, let's keep praying about it. Let's keep praying. The door's open. And I also had a support group, which my like granddad, it was so lovely. He like chaired for me and he basically was like, well, you need to pray about which friends you want to like be there. I had six different people and some were kind of older, like parents, friends of mine. And like, we would meet every like 2 months, 6 weeks. And they would just ask me questions like, how are you spiritually? How are you emotionally?
Yeah,
and
it's great.
Checking in. And I think that is what helped me sustain, because I think you can get there and anywhere new you can start. And it's exciting. Also, it's exciting being a new person. You can go to a whole new place on mission and everyone's celebrating you back because they're like, wow, it's amazing. But that doesn't sustain you. And so I think it's the community that sustains you. And
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And checks in with you and keeps you accountable.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. It's really important.
Yeah. Oh, I do. Yeah, I agree with you.
Jazz, any wisdom?
Sorry, that was such a teacher. Look, it's really important.
I think I would just say to like just make those first steps, because I think it can be really hard to be like, something's on my heart but like I just don't know how. And so I just think, you know, there are a lot of ways, and I think, you know, a lot of charity organizations do have social media now as well. So I know that I followed Mercy Ships way before I went on it, so it's just like to see, oh, is it something I could do? And then like you said, just to talk about it. If you go to a church, there are a lot of people in the church that not necessarily have mission on their heart, but they have like that desire for someone else, like, you know, to facilitate someone else doing mission or support mission. And so,
Cause that I found really beautiful. Like, a lady at my workplace, turns out she was a Christian, and turned out she'd been sponsoring Mercy Ships every month for the last 20 years. And she was like, oh, she was in her 60s and she was like, oh, I can't go, but like, go for me. And she, on my last shift.
That a lot. A lot of people on my job were like, I wish I could,
but you do. And I think that's a beautiful thing of people partnering with that. And she then, on my last shift, I was like, I haven't been accepted yet, I need like money to go. And she went out and just took money out of the cash point for me. And I was like, oh, you believe in me. And I think it's like the talking about it also kind of allows people to join in with you, because actually like we need people around us, people that also really know us. I think I found like everyone's meeting you, but they're probably meeting, because I changed while being there, so everyone's meeting the maze that they met in Sierra Leone, but I kind of need people that knew me from back home as well. So I think it's a community to feel like you're being sent out, and also praying for you as you're going, because you won't just need prayer before you go. It's like you'll need prayer throughout, just because some of the things that you'll see that are different. Like, I'm someone that grew up in Winchester, quite like just in an English culture and community context, being from England. And I think I found it just very different going to a country that had a different culture. God is mentioned so much more. Like, they speak Creole in Sierra Leone, and they'll say like, how the body?
Body fine.
We body, thank God.
Body fine.
Yeah.
How do I know that? why do I know that?
How the body? It's like broken.
The body fine.
But body fine. And then you would say like,
I used to
maybe you start using
that.
It.
I used to quote that, but I can't remember where from.
That's how you like what you say to everyone in Sierra Leone.
Body fine. I don't know body what would happen fine. If my body wasn't fine. We never got there. Yeah. But like, more, and then you would say like, oh, we thank God. And I think I love that, like, God was always referenced. It was like, we thank God, we praise
tell
God.
Papa
and
God, thank you.
Yeah, tell Papa God thank you. And like, we would start our shifts by like praying and singing a song that.
Wow. And to be fair, every patient, like before they went into surgery, so we also covered like the bit before they go in, so the admission part, and every patient gets offered prayer. Wow. And I think it's really powerful. And obviously you can't do that everywhere. But it was something that the Mercy Ships really, that did. And it was, I mean, obviously we asked them first, and most of the time patients would.
Yeah, so cool.
Yeah.
And I think we've touched on a lot of, well, not a lot of, because we've had a little bit of source there, but like mostly positive things. We've been like, wow, we got to see lives changed.
Yeah.
If you're a missionary, like, this is some practicals. This is how you do it. Maybe going to the flip side briefly, because also we don't want to paint a false reality. Maybe what were some hardships on the boat or even after? Like, what was your experience winding down after such an amazing experience?
Well, I mean, so illness out there is quite hard. I mean, that's more of a personal. I think the first time I met you, I was getting tested for the flu. Yeah. And that's
that flu, man.
Yeah, I know.
Damn flu.
But that's the other thing about being on a ship. You're confined. So, like, unfortunately, like, if you do get unwell, you have to be in your cabin. But actually, I think now on reflection, looking at those times, like, I definitely felt I did grow, but they were hard. Mm. And they were hard. And then you just have to remind yourself, like, while you're there.
How long would you have to be in your cabin for?
So it depends. Because if you had, for example, COVID, and you'd know this more than me because you were the
it was 5 days.
Crew,
it was
a crooner, sorry.
And you didn't see anyone for 5 days?
No, you had to be in your cabin. And then we'd have to phone them every morning like, hi, how you doing? And I was told I was a bit too friendly on the phone. They were like, hey, someone's not friendly. How are you doing? It's all like...
It's okay.
Yeah, it's going to be okay.
You don't want someone shouting on the phone, hey,
yeah.
Moment and place. I also think it's the reality of that person that you've seen at work that has really annoyed you. You're going to see them
you live
in the dinner queue. You're going to look after their kids when you do youth group or babysit. These first, we needed a bit of time apart. This is first time reuniting, isn't it?
I know we needed that, like,
to let the beef settle, didn't we? But it. And that's the reality. And like, you can't, and I even felt, I joined the worship team and I found it so hard because I love to express like my worship and like,
be quite
open to spirit, not the flag, but the
I love a flag.
But I think that was hard because I was like, right, that person in the front row I've taken bloods from this week. And now they're watching me pour my heart out and worship. I was like, I've shared my work self with them. I've shared my spiritual self. Yeah. I started dating someone on the ship. So like, I'm sharing my, everyone knows my relationship. It was like,
wow.
I'm sharing all parts, which I think is a beautiful thing,
mm-hmm.
but it's a hard thing. Yeah. And actually, it's like And even people from back home would sponsor me in like kind of a little bit each month, which I just loved being like, I've been sent out. But then I was like, oh, the way I spend my money, I also kind of owe an account. I have to be accountable to them because they've given. So, you know, I think that was difficult because, but it's good things. They're refining you. And I also think what I really battled with the Mercy ships in general was that we're on the ship, but eventually we're going to sail away. So yes, we can do this amazing.
Yeah.
We could, like, it's amazing, but I'm still living in a lovely cabin. I can go and get my flat white from the cafe every day on my 10:30 lunch break.
Yeah.
But you know, when it's like, I don't ever know what it's like. I can live in that country for 10 months, but I'll never know what really like to go. And I think that I'm like, oh Lord, like this side of heaven, like, please help me to understand that more. Because even like walking down the street, you're a white person. Like, so like the money that I would get barter for like a KK ride when we're going out somewhere, my African friend would get it for like a tenth of the price. You know, when you're like, wow, like even though, or people would be like, are you new here? You're new here. And it's like, oh, I guess I am new here, but also I have been here for 10 months. Like, this is not my home, but like, you know, when you're like, oh, I love these people. I look after, I love Sierra Leone, but I'm never going to be, I guess that's also the point. I am English, but I think I really battle with that of like, I'll never know.
I think it's hard understand. Knowing that the ship will move on because and actually what surgical care is left, because we that was really hard, is when, let's say, patients came out and all surgery didn't go as expected. But that's just, you can't, sometimes you can't help that. So it is.
And also, sorry, I feel conflicted in what I just said of like, it's not for me to know. It's more like, Lord, just give us a bit of the kingdom of God, like help us understand. And I do think being with all the different nationalities was also helpful.
Yeah.
Because it was like, there was a natural bit of divine.
It's definitely a unique part of the ship, how many nationalities you bring together.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Mm. And like, we would have our British night, like on Sunday, and have our cups of tea.
It was the most boring night, wasn't it? She sat there with tea.
Tea and a crumpet.
And the Spanish would be like, woohoo! Like such like the hot and cold culture. I'd be like, I wish I'd learned that at school. I could pick past the Spanish
girl. Everyone from the Netherlands we had it on the same night, and their nights were great.
It's unique and beautiful. And I'm like, I think this is maybe what heaven might be like. Like every nation, every tongue, every on. Like
the same.
But it's also hard because I'm still a white woman. But then I'm also like, but God's made me a white woman for a reason. And you know, and I think that's also, you know, it's kind of understanding our limitations.
Yeah.
With mission and like,
totally. Yeah. No, guys, this is like exactly what we want to hear. Totally is. There's so many fascinating things you don't think about, like unless you step out of your comfort zone. Sometimes, unless you step out of Winchester.
I think that is the thing, isn't it? Stepping out, and it's hard. It's hard to do sometimes. Mm. But
what else were you like exposed to a little bit? Like seeing so many nationalities, what else did it bring up in you guys?
I guess there's a lot of different cultures, isn't it? But yeah, I'm just trying to think now.
You had a Body of Christ point?
Oh yeah. It? Well, basically, I think it was because I think when you hear mission, you think, oh, I have to be able to do this, this and this. And I think what was made so clear on the ship is that, you don't need to, everyone's skills and everyone has different gifts, and actually all of those are needed so much. And so I was, you know, earlier actually I was thinking, I was like, oh, you know, well, praying about it, and I was like, you know, I think it's 1 Corinthians 12:14 and the body of Christ, and that the body's not made up of one but like many parts. And I just think, and I think unity just came to my mind, like unity on the ship is just amazing. And we were talking about it earlier in terms of here in the, like in our jobs now, there can be a hierarchy because everyone gets paid different. But when you go to the ship or any other, you know, voluntary thing or other things, that's taken away from it. And everyone on there is because they want to be there. And so everyone's skills, everyone's jobs are seen the same at the same, like everyone's needed. And I just think, I think that's what really was made clear to me when I was there. And I think that's what I've come away with now. And actually, all of our different gifts and skills are.
Wow. Yeah, it's you do learn a lot, don't you? Gosh.
Yeah.
It is funny battling the kind of significance thing in a world of hierarchy in the West, for sure.
Yeah.
And to kind of get out of that a little bit must be so nice.
Yeah. Well, it's so nice. And then it can be a little bit challenging coming back then now, can't it?
What are some challenges coming back? I love to hear about that.
Well, we were actually saying earlier in terms of, because in, you know, in nursing, like a lot of our friends now that we graduated with are at different stages of their career, and they a lot of them are a little bit higher. Technically, I guess. Yeah. But it's just knowing that actually, you know, what's good for us and what does God want us to do and where do we need to be? And
And also, like, what does success look like?
Yeah.
Because I think you're totally stripped out of that. So like I basically had so I left my job in the April, didn't get on the ship to the September. So did like agency work while I was waiting to go back on the job. Worked on the ship from September to July, didn't get a paycheck again until the December. So it was like, okay, we're kind of hitting on what, like a year and a half now, but like it also really humbles you. But I also felt quite embarrassed. Like I was like, in a way, which I felt, I was like, good. I'm the type of person that if I feel uncomfortable, I kind of lean into it because I'm like, come on, like there's going to be breakthrough. Mm. Like I think God also works in accelerated ways when you're just feeling a bit uncomfortable. And you're like, hey, why do I feel embarrassed? Why is that? What lies do I believe that the world said to me? And I think definitely with the like promotion, like going back, the job I'm now in is a totally different. I'm an adult nurse, but now working on a children's ward. So it is totally different. But like even everyone will say, are you newly qualified? And I'm like, oh, my pride. I'm like, no, have you seen what I've done? Do you know what I mean? Dang. I've done it in Africa. You know what I mean? Like, but it's like, but you, I think that is, the humility of like, even I've realized coming back, people ask you for 2 weeks how it was, but now no one mentions it because it's a massive part of my life, but everyone's moved on. And that's a good thing. And that's but it's the humility of being like, oh, no one is, if you, like, as in if you're doing it for man, especially with mission, going back to that, like, check your intentions because know with God, and I know with God, we've had this adventure and it's like, this is amazing. But if I did it for man, it would have worn out and you wouldn't have sustained. Yeah. I don't know if you can relate with that.
Yeah, of like, definitely.
It takes stamina. I only did it for 10 months.
It's really tiring. It can be really tiring. So you do need that.
Yeah. And is it a similar experience for you coming home? Yeah. Like similarly finding that tricky?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it was, I kind of like felt like I was so refreshed and I really wanted to bring that back with me. And I was like, but then there were so many times when I just felt being, you know, kind of pulled back to kind of old habits. Yeah. Well, not old habits, but just my like life, how it was before. But I think that's fine. And I think it's being okay with that because it's not going to be the same here because it's just a very different culture. I think definitely humility.
No, guys, thanks for sharing like your honest thoughts. I think it's amazing to hear how positive it was and like how amazing it was. But also it's foolish to think that there's not hardships with that as well. And honestly, I have so many missionary friends that would say the same thing. It's the most life-giving thing, but can be the most hard thing ever. Mm. And it is amazing to hear pieces of your story. Maisie, I remember you saying earlier that there was a bit of a testimony from the before to the after now for how God kind of, you thought you had a plan and then it was reworked and now you've kind of landed it again.
Yeah. I feel like God always takes me on the long way around. I'm like, Lord, this is the scenic route. So
that's good.
So tell us about it.
When I was 18, so I've always wanted to be a children's nurse. I'm like one of seven kids and I'm the older sister. So I was like, I just love looking after people. Very natural with that. So I went when I was 18 to Surrey University, did my children's course for a year, had amazing experiences, worked in Great Ormond Street, which was just amazing to be exposed to that because I'd only ever like cleaned.
What is Great Ormond Street?
It's a children's hospital. Great. So it's kind of, but it's also seen as like the children's hospital, you know, like, so it was amazing like to have that experience there. And then I found out I was on placement in the July and I got a call being like, you need to leave the ward. You're no longer insured to be there because you're no longer a nurse because you failed your exam. And I was like, okay. So that just like broke me, to be quite honest with you. And then I moved back home. But you know, when you have that whole, like, I'm leaving, this is so fun, flying the nest, doing this, came back home. And then my mum applied for Southampton Uni through clearing for me. And you know, my mum's just amazing. And I was like, mum, I'm going to Australia to work for a church or do some mission. And I just want to be far away. I'm embarrassed. Like, this is hard. Which also is difficult. When you look back and you think, oh, I thought that was so hard. It's like, oh. But at that time, it was like life-changing, obviously.
Yeah, no, of course.
And got a place. They wouldn't accept me on the children's course, but they gave me a place on the adult course. And I was like, I don't want to take it if it's not the children's course. And my mom was like, she'll take it. I was like,
Praise God for mums.
Yeah, praise God for mums. And then I started doing the course, and throughout that time, joined a church plant in Southampton, which was just like incredible. God was so kind in that time of my life. Became an adult nurse, worked on a spinal ward. And what was actually an amazing testimony is one of the ladies that I looked after when she was end of life, her husband was the man that gave me the place on the course. Mm. So it was like this beautiful full circle. And I felt God kind of say, like, what if you became an adult nurse just to look after her? Would that have been enough? And I was like, yeah, wow. It actually would be enough. Just got in the detail and then went on the ship. And looked after children there. So I had that experience. So then when I came back to the UK, I applied. It took me so long to get a job. I applied for a job as a last resort of like, they'll probably never take me on a children's ward. And I did, which was
amazing.
And when I failed uni, I had like a word that I heard at New Day. There you go. that was like, as Christians, we're living like in a battleship fighting for God's glory. We're not on a cruise ship, just entitled to things. I think I did have a massive entitlement and probably still do as a Christian. And I think that was just, I got that tattooed. I was like, yes, come on, battleship. And then it was amazing to then work on a ship. And then now the children's ward that I'm on has a ship in front of it. So I was just like, God's kindness has been in it. And like, if you told me at 18 that at 26, 8 years on, I'd be working in a peace ward, I'd be like, oh God, you're so good. So I think sometimes it's good to look back at your journey and actually realize God's hand has been in it through the whole time. And
It's amazing, particularly because you said one of the difficult things is feeling behind.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, like, if you look back at you when you were 18 and you had a real desire to work and look after like children in hospitals, and that was the desire of your heart, and you probably prayed, Lord, I have this desire, will you do it? And some people might be like, I feel a call to missions, but I can't step out my, like, I can't step out my career right now, or like, there's always reasons. But that story itself just shows the hand that God has in life, and that there is redemption.
Yeah.
He does have a plan, and his plan might be better than ours.
Yeah.
Like, that is phenomenal as a story. And so, like, even as a little encouragement, like, for those listening, if your heart is burning and you're like, oh man, I really want to go do this thing, but you know, there's this and there's this and there's this, you can trust that God has a massive plan for you. And if he's putting a desire in your heart to go and do a missions thing, then he's got a massive plan for you. You know, Jazz, you feel like you got something.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Something brewing.
I saw it. It was like, I was like leaning towards the mic. Like, let me speak.
Sorry if I didn't look like that.
No, you didn't.
I was just going to say, God's timing is everything. And on the ship, I mean, how many stories do you hear that it's like, some people have been waiting years to get there, and some people had only waited a couple weeks. And I just think, like, everyone has their own story of how they got there. And sometimes you just think, like, like, how?
And we need to talk about Patty.
Oh, yeah. Well, so basically, it's just like a bit of like an example of like, it doesn't have to be like now, you know, it might not be the right time, but one of my best friends was like in her 60s on the ship. And, you know, during her life, she knew that she wanted to do some sort of mission, but it was just, it never had quite, you know, quite happened for her. And yeah, so she came on. It was actually my ship mom, I think. Wasn't she, but also my best friend.
She was amazing.
Yeah. And she was amazing on the ship. So I think.
And when, so she joined when she was 60.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's the beauty. I would also say it's a very accessible mission field, because you can go for, I think when you first go, it has to be 3 months, but then as an alumni, you can go for 3 weeks if you want. So like, it's kind of accessible. And
yeah, it really is.
Even in that way of like, if you're someone that's listening, that's like, just like, oh Lord, like, I feel like this has awoken something in me. It's also something you can go to if you're not medical. Mm-hmm. Like, you can go and serve in the dining room, like in the cafe. Like, there's loads of...
so many.
We had people on gap years coming. Like, you know, like one guy that came on a gap year for a few months and now there's there for 2 years. I was like, God, love that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's... Yeah. And I think it does... There's space for everyone at the table. There actually is. And it's that beautiful... There's a saying that's like, once a mercy shipper, always a mercy shipper. And
I know. I think I'm getting to the point now where I'm like... Need to go back.
So. Oh yeah, I'm going back next year. Like, it's so like,
it's
amazing. You feel part of something greater than yourself. I think that's a beautiful thing when you're a Christian as well. Wow. That actually we're part of a bigger mission. That actually, that's just so exciting to be like, let's just less of us and more of God, and we're part of something bigger.
Amen.
That's
so good. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast and chatting a bit about your experiences, your stories. Like, it's been inspiring to hear and exciting to hear. And real, like, you were honest about some bits as well. So thank you. Thank you for having us, guys. Thanks for watching. Yeah, and guys, thank you so much for watching. Make sure that you like and subscribe and all of the above. We'll put all the details for Mercy Ships if you want to check it out further in the description. But yeah, we'll tune in with you guys soon again, and goodbye.
Bye.
I don't think that's natural, I don't think you went to the camera.
Goodbye, hasta la vista, baby.